Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
Well, Congress avoided another government shutdown, and Friday the market had a little bit of a rally. The S&P 500 closed the week at 5137, so a new all-time high. For the week was up 0.9%. Now, the Dow was down a little bit off 0.1%, but still a pretty good close, 39,087. Year-to-date up 3.7%. NASDAQ had a pretty strong day and a pretty strong week, up 1.7% as tech continues to lead, closing at 16,275. Year-to-date, NASDAQ's up 8.4%. But the story was in oil. Oil got close to $80 a barrel, closing to $79.74, up 4.2% for the week. Pretty good gain right there. Year-to-date up 11.3%. And of course, we've been talking about gold, and gold got to 2,092, up 37, honing in on that 2,100 price market that we've been talking about for some time. So with the market being at all-time highs, the economy looking like it's doing pretty well, earnings coming in pretty strong, I start to look at the indicators out there to see what's around the corner. And one of the tried and true indexes that people use in the market is something called the VIX. It's the VIX. And it closed Friday at 13.11. Now, people that have market experience, they're familiar with the VIX, also known as the Volatility Index. But fear, and they look at it when it's the unknown. This is an unknown cousin, which we call the SKEW, the S-K-E-W index. And so I look at that as well. Not many people look at that, but I want to explain today why I am looking at it. So I monitor the options-based volatility index pretty much every week, because both the VIX and now the SKEW, they can offer actionable and timely signals, especially when markets are, say, at inflection points. And so to provide a quick refresher for those of you who have been listening to the show for a while, the more widely followed fear gauge, we call it the VIX, this is an index produced from a complex calculation that utilizes the S&P 500 index options and price data as the input value, so that they're looking at the activity that's going on there. And this is specifically geared to what's called the at-the-money options. These are option contracts that trade, and if they're at the money, they're trading right at their fair value, as opposed to above or beyond, below, which I'll talk about here in a minute. Ultimately, what the VIX does is it provides a gauge of demand for people buying options, and this is typically used by traders and institutional accounts alike to hedge equity market positions, so stock positions, when the general market uncertainty starts to rise considerably, and investors seek to protect their downside by something that's called a put. A put option is something you buy expecting the market to go down, and if it does go down, you make money. If it goes up, you lose money. So if you're long a stock, and let's say you own a stock, and you want to protect your downside because you think that it might not continue to go up, you might buy puts for a period of time to just cover that downside. In these situations, the nervous trader is seeking to lock in profits or protect from drawdowns in new positions they might take. So they tend to buy options that are at or near the money. Since that is exactly the type of option demand that the VIX measures, the volatility index, again the VIX, will rise when general market uncertainty is driving above average hedging activity. So for this reason, the VIX typically has an inverse correlation to the broader S&P 500 index, which I just mentioned is at an all-time high at 5137. Now, a low VIX number, like we are at right now, 13.1, can imply low market volatility. And this can also mean that traders are feeling pretty bullish right now. And it also shows that there's a generally positive outlook for stocks, which, of course, we've been talking about for some time. Now, on the other hand, the SKEW that I've been talking about, another type of index, SKEW, it's similar to the VIX in that it also measures options market demand. However, instead of at-the-money options, the CBOE, which is the Chicago Board of Exchange, they're the ones who created this index. Their goal, the CBOE's goal, it's literally like a trading floor, if you imagine the New York Stock Exchange, this is the Chicago version. Their goal when creating this index was to provide a measure of what we call a tail risk. Now, this is an interesting term in the market. You may want to think about this one, the tail risk. It's also known as a black swan event. These are unknown things that can come out of nowhere that really hit the market. So the idea was that as the skew rose with people buying out of the money options. Now again, these are ones that are less expensive, but are designed to cover your upside or downside if something were to happen. And most of the folks who buy those typically are the retail investor. So when we break down the fundamentals of who, why, and when demand rises for out of the money options, this provides a different perspective on the skew and how it might help us right now as we're looking at this current market. So out of the money options are often used by, like I said, the retail speculator who habitually lose money on their speculative directional options bets. So this would be the typical person who just buys options, doesn't have the capital to invest in the underlying equity. They're just trying to make it off options. So very, very lower premium, but much more upside if they win. So this, think about someone going to the horse track and just betting on their favorite horse, right? What are the chances of you winning? This is very similar in the stock market. So this low probability retail option trading allows option dealers to regularly collect the premium for the contracts that they offer to the general public. And these have short durations. However, what also tends to move the skew index meaningfully, and this is where I'm getting interested, is demand for sizable out of the money option contracts. The kind of demand that only an institution could afford to write a check for. But these institutions are not speculating. They're hedging their equity position, typically newly opened ones, in order to meet regulatory or in-house risk management protocols. So if institutional investors are buying out of the money options in a significant way, it is counterintuitively indicative of bullish sentiment among smart money institutional investors. What the understanding a rising skew is a healthy dynamic to see in an equity market, equity bull market as we feel like we're in right now, a declining skew index typically occurs during early phases of market corrections or sustained bear markets as institutional investors start to get out of their long equity positions and with them, their tail risk hedge. So I've been looking at a chart lately that looks at the skew over the last 2 years. You may want to pull this up if you can. If you can't, we're happy to share this with you. I'll give you a number later you can call to get. Actually, just 866-PROTECT, give us a call. I'm happy to share it. Anyway, this chart that I'm looking at, if you look at it over the last couple of years, has an interesting pattern. So the dynamic shows that an upward trend skew was happening in the second half of 21. Remember that? That was a very strong period of stock market returns, followed by what? Well, a steady decline for much of 22, a rather painful year dominated by volatile equity sell-offs. So it's worth noting that during the 22 bear market, even the VIX was falling to register higher highs as the stock market made lower lows, a dynamic that is also consistent with institutional equity selling. In 23, we saw the equity market that lasted through end of last year with a modest correction in the second half of the year, but note the skew pulled back with stocks. So what's the skew telling me right now? Well, in mid-February, the skew spiked to the highest level since June of 21 before reversing sharply lower into the end of this month that we just finished up here, because now remember it's March. The whipsaw in the index suggests there was a surge in tail risk hedging leading up to the January CPI report that you may remember came in hotter than we thought and roiled the markets a little bit, but it was only brief. So if we're looking at this guide, such a spike and reversal like we saw in the summer of 21 doesn't mean the equity market rally is ending, but it suggests that a transition is underway in which institutional investors are starting to liquidate their long exposure, and retail traders are left in charge of carrying the torch for the next leg of this rally. This is a dynamic that typically precedes more pronounced and prolonged selling pressure, since the support of the institutional bids, the buyers, are gone. So looking ahead, as long as the skew churns near current levels, stocks should be okay. But if we see this skew begin to fall below the lows of October 23, then that's consistent with the onset of that more pronounced, which would signal a steep decline in the broader stock market. So what could you do right now if you feel like we're at all-time highs and you still want to participate in some more of this rally if it were to continue? There are different ways to do that. You can diversify. And there's also something called a fixed indexed annuity that invests in an index that you could choose, like the S&P 500, and protects your downside and gives you some upside.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.